Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
As of right now, we are at war.
How desperate you call on such lost creatures to defend you.
How desperate am I? You threaten my world with war. You steal a force you can't hope to control. You talk about peace and you kill because it's fun. You have made me very desperate. You might not be glad that you did. There was an idea to bring together a group of remarkable people, see if they can become something more.
Welcome to Fury's Finest, a podcast of a discussion of Marvel Crisis Protocol and the Marvel Universe. My name is Jesse Aiken, and I'm joined by my co-host, Chris Bruffett. How are you doing today, Chris?
Jesse, it's a rare morning recording for us.
Yeah,
it's a double podcast week for us. The only bad thing about this week is I don't get to play any MCP this week. That's the only thing.
Very soon, next week,
Getting to hang out and talk MCP. Talk some Marvel, do this extra episode, talk about this
After Dark stuff.
Do some After Dark. It's fun. It's good stuff. And it's post St. Patrick's Day. So I'm just happy to be alive. This bartender survived another one. So
mark it off.
We're all good, baby.
Check mark. Yeah. Very good.
Good till New Year's.
Awesome. Good stuff. Yeah. So we haven't done one of these in a while, Chris, and we know these are some of you guys' favorite episodes, and we haven't done one of these in a while because the last tournament we went to together post-Warfare Weekend, you know, we just had so much going on in the way of news and episodes. So we were like, well, we can do this one. This is going to be exciting. And we're doing a tournament report today that, you know, once again, Chris and I both went to, and we were like, well, this would be the time. And it was a local tournament, and we're going to talk about all that today. And it's going to probably provide some insight too on not necessarily like the craziest of stuff because it was a small tournament, but I mean, it is a kind of a snapshot of the meta. And I always like these episodes because if you're listening in present time, if you're listening to this episode sometime in the future, these are pretty cool snapshots in time of what's going on in the game and stuff like that. And I always find that really interesting from a
Isn't it always fun to listen to an episode from 2 years ago?
And oh man,
everybody's just, you know, this character that is no longer a problem or this strategy that's no longer viable. You know, it's fun to kind of relive the thought processes that you were going through back in those days.
Absolutely.
I mean, I like that with a bunch of the MOBAs, you know, and I played. It's fun to think about that stuff from time to time. So yeah. No, we don't have any Fury's Finest podcasts on MOBAs for me to go back and listen to. So I guess I'll just have to listen to our old tournament reports.
It's true. There are some MOBA nuggets though in the After Dark feed. So
yes,
if you want to hear that, some of Chris and I's history with that is definitely in there. But yeah, we're going to try to make this as evergreen as we always do on our primary episodes. But of course, this is a snapshot in time. And hopefully this will help you in any point of time you're listening to this, whether it's right now or in the future, because, you know, at worst, models come out, models get nerfed or buffed, and things change. But it's like, you still play the game the same way, Chris. And once again, we're still in this infancy of these new crises. And I know you haven't got to go to a ton of tournaments with these new crises. And like,
no,
this is like helpful information to pick your brain, because I want to hear about how some of this went today with your list and stuff like that.
Just play Senators against me. That's all you got to do.
Yeah, and we'll get to that hopefully at some point, very soon. But before we get into our tournament report from our local Tulsa tournament today, we had a little business to attend to.
Fury's Finest is supported by Mr. Laser.square.site and discount gamesinc.com. Please check them out after your local gaming store for all your Marvel Crisis Protocol needs.
Our patrons support Furious Finest at patreon.com/Furious Finest. If you enjoy the show and would like to join our Discord community, consider supporting us on Patreon. We take this time to thank all of our patrons for their support. Once again, we have tiers. The tiers get you different benefits in the Discord and stuff. And we've mentioned those Asgardian patrons and up. Get that After Dark extra podcast feed, more episodes.
This week, we have a very special shout out. Our patron of the week this week is Damon. Thanks, Damon.
Thank you so much, Damon. We really appreciate you joining the Furious Finest group. But of course, Chris, we cannot do this show without our Avenger producers. They make every episode happen. They keep the lights on. Thank you to Rusty, Dylan, Rich, Jason, Puyon, and Charles. Thank you, friends.
Thank you so much, dudes.
All right, Chris, let's move on to our tournament report. So, Chris, this was a tournament here in Tulsa, Oklahoma, at our local store. And what's cool about this is our local store, it's kind of ebbed and flowed with tournaments coming and yes. going. They've been quarterly, they've been bi-monthly, they've been half annual sometimes. That has changed. It seems like they are for sure going to monthly or bi-monthly now for every single MCP thing. So we're going to have more of these in the future. We're also going to learn more about like the game as it's changing at our local level, but also just at a greater level outside of just the TTS leagues, which, you know, we're doing the Furious Finest League and others. But it's like, this is very cool because it's good for us. And you've even changed some things in your schedule recently, right? Where you can...
I have made a commitment to go ahead and be at all of these. I physically can. I have... Yep. I usually work a lot every weekend. So once a month, I have Saturdays off to attend this game or these tournaments. And one of these days, I'm going to win one.
Perfect. Perfect. And, you know, this one, it was kind of late addition. They added the schedule. So we didn't have our full attendance locally, but we did have a good, decent sized group. We had a group of, it was at 8 and then someone had to drop. So then it was at 7. And 7's pretty good for a tournament, Chris. I mean, ideally, you're always at like 8 or higher. And that's just like right. a solid like tournament. The SOS and VPs and MOV are all in a good spot mathematically and stuff, but 7's pretty cool. And you know, we're about to talk about our rosters, but I'll tell you some of the other rosters that were represented at the tournament outside of Chris and I's. There was a Malekith Cabal player, there was mm-hmm. a Spider Foes player, there was a pure Brotherhood player with no other flex affiliations, there was a Kingpin and Shadowlin criminal player. And then there was a Spider Foes Avengers player. Very interesting. So a lot of bad guys, Chris. And also, you know, we're about to talk about you and I's list, but it's like, I think this is a pretty interesting snapshot of our local meta, but also just kind of the meta at large, where it's like foes are massively on the rise. Mal Cabal is just doing amazing things in the game. Brotherhood's doing amazing things in the game. Criminals are in the best place they've been potentially ever because they got more pieces. They've always... I mean, we know criminals are always just like, they've never had a bad day in the sun, right?
It's true. They've always been a solid team.
Yeah, and then they got Ulic recently, and mm-hmm. that just kind of changes stuff. So it's like...
I figured out the solution to Ulic. We'll get to it.
Of course. I've got some solutions too, and I'll provide that insight in the
episode. Yours are probably a little more steady and not dice dependent.
Okay.
Mine is taking Nebula and just acing him in one shot.
Madness.
It's that easy, man.
That's so frustrating.
It's so easy, dog. Come on. I don't understand how he's a problem for you guys.
Oh my gosh. So
just roll 8 hits with your Nebula.
Yeah, we'll get to that. And then of course, Avengers. So it's like, these are all strong teams in the game right now. And it's cool to see these things like ebb and flow. Cause it's like a couple years back, I was on Spider Foes. Spider Foes took a huge dip and then they got more models and man, they're just top tier right now. I mean, there's some players in the TTS league that are undefeated with Spider Foes, you know? So,
and that's how I know Spider Foes were not for me. I was playing them while they were on this rise and I was doing fine.
Yeah.
But they never clicked to this level for me. So
they're a tough team.
Totally okay with me. Not every team is going, you're not going to be awesome at every team, folks. They were super fun to play. But yeah, some of these guys, what they're doing with Spider Foes is awesome.
Mm-hmm.
Watching a local player, Moves Jones.
Yeah, Moves comes up a lot.
Do everything with the Mysterio tricks and traps is insane.
Yeah.
He's actually insane at it. And all the manipulations and things he will do to get these tricks and traps off is so wild and frustrating to play against, but awesome to watch.
Absolutely. So, Chris, I think it's now to unveil our list, because that was the five other players at this tournament. Let's start with our list, and let's start with your list first, because, Chris, you are actually a good guy team here and kind of representing the light in this group of all these villains.
Yeah. So
what did you play? And I think you've maybe been hinting this on the podcast for some time now.
Oh, sure. Well,
and it's not A-Forced.
It's not yet. I'm still, we're waiting on some models to come in for A-Force to take off.
Yeah, yeah.
But so I've been on Guardians for a while, as regular listeners of the show will know. So in this tournament, I did bring a Guardians list. I brought Star-Lord, Rocket, Nebula, Groot, Beta Ray Bill, Agent Venom. My splashes were Pyro, Hulk, Sabretooth Apex Predator, and Luke Cage. I brought the Luke Cage. I didn't even bring Heroes for Hire. It was I need a 10th model. I'm not planning to play him.
Mm.
Have to grab somebody that's useful in a pinch, you know, but didn't put a ton of thought into it. But that was my list of 10. Now for my cards. I brought Sacrifice, Brace for Impact. Those are my restricteds. Recalibration Matrix, Foreign Assignment, Lovable Misfits, Crew of the Milano, Scuttlebutt on me, Deadly Duo, We Are Groot, and of course, Pyrotechnics.
Mm, you love to see all those name cards that are strong, for sure.
Isn't that one of the fun parts about Guardians? You get a bunch of cool cards.
Absolutely. And also the fun part of the game we're at right now. You know? Like, we would not be saying this at tournament ports a year ago, right? Like, that many name cards.
Yeah, you're right. Because it was the rise of generic cards.
Mm-hmm.
Named cards changes. Just were not strong enough at the time, aside from just a few. So yeah, great call, Jesse. That is a very big positive way the game has changed.
Yeah.
My secures. Infinity Formula Goes Missing, Demons Downtown, Gamma Waves. Okay. My extracts are Fear Grips the World, Hammers, Legacy Virus, and Struggle for the Cubes.
Interesting. You had cubes. Okay.
I have cubes. Any questions? Anything?
Cubes is my question. Yeah, that's interesting with Guardians. But you do have Hulk in your list, and you do have Bill. So
I had the cubes because I wanted Hulk, Bill, and Agent Venom to get powered up. They've all got so much they can do with power.
Yeah, of course.
Not to mention, it's never bad to have power on Groot.
Mm-hmm.
Because if he can afford to do his spender attack,
oh gosh,
everything is gravy, baby.
Throw any size.
It's so good.
Don't sleep on
Groot, man. He's better than you think.
No, him getting his strike taken up to range 3 was a game
changer. It's huge. He can build. He can sit on any secure near Rocket and just build power because he's going to be within range of someone. It's fun. Anyway, we have to stay to a structure.
I have played so many Groot games with his range 2 attack, and that is just absolutely amazing for him, especially on his builder. So. Mm-hmm. I've talked about this on the podcast recently. I have been trying teams I have never played, specifically villain teams, because I've played most of the good guy teams in the game. And I've been trying to play villain teams that I've just never played, learn them, patch those holes in my armor, you know, and learn some information going forward. Also have some fun playing things like Red Skull, which you guys know I love Red Skull. Master Red Skull so much, despite not liking Corset Red Skull at all. So it's a cool, something I'm really enjoying. But with that said, I have a triple affiliated list that I've been playing at local stuff.
And man, you're so wild with this stuff.
So my list is Red Skull Hydra, Malekith Cabal, and Mystique Brotherhood. And based off of whatever objective we play, I can flex to whatever leader. So I'll run through my models and it'll make a little bit more sense how this actually works. So my list is Mystique, Master Red Skull of Hydra, Hulk, Winter Soldier, Crimson Dynamo, Malekith the Accursed, Juggernaut, Toad, Baron Zemo, and Bob. So notice like everyone I have is like affiliated with one or two teams. Really the only weird thing in there is Dynamo. He's not weird. He's good in these
teams. He's not weird because he's awesome.
He helps me on those E-maps when I want to fight a gun line. Like if I were to fight Guardians, like in Chris's case, or like a shield player or something, he is specifically for that. He is specifically to disruption field, put that bubble around my team, help me fight on the E-map. It's really the only reason he's here. So my list is actually really light on fours. He's the only four, which is kind of interesting, but I've got two twos, that kind of makes up for that. I've got some threes, I've got a seven, I've got a six, I've got a five. I've just got every number to play with in this. So it's been kind of a fun experiment. It's a little bit of a bigger, taller list. And I've been playing this for some time. I've been playing this off and on since LVO because I was like, well, what do I need to learn? What have I never played? I've never really played Mystique. I've never really played Malekith. The only one of these I've played is Red Skull, and I still had never really played his leadership, Chris. I just played Red Skull on other teams.
You've been splashing him.
Yeah. So let's talk about my tactics cards. So my restricted cards are Brace and Patch Up, pretty basic stuff. This one of these could also be Follow Me easily.
Yeah.
Or even one of these could also be Advanced R&D if I wanted to be more aggressive. But we'll get into how I've been playing this list. I've not really been playing it like you would maybe think. I'm not really playing aggro. I am still playing a Jesse playstyle. I'm winning on points, and then I also have the pressure of aggro on top of that. Well, the rest of my cards are Dark Reign, of course, for the Cabal leadership, Deception for when I play the Mystique teams, Fallback. I've got two Mal cards, Midnight Phantasmagoria, the Black Bifrost for the mobility. I also have Recalibration Matrix, Eyes on the Prize, and Do You Know Who I Am? That, of course, is Juggernaut's named card. So that's the end of my tactics cards, and that also puts me at a couple named cards as well. Of course, I have Mystique's name card, Juggernaut's name card, Malekith's two named cards, because I think a lot of people are sleeping on the Black Bifrost, weirdly. And yeah, it's I've tried other things in this. I've tried dropping some of the generic cards for a couple more Hydra cards and stuff, like that Sleeper Agent Hulk and stuff. You can get that in here. I haven't really done that yet, but you can. I've learned that things like Recal and Eyes on the Prize are just... With the way I'm playing, which is a little bit more defensive for these big boys, Eyes on the Prize helps you get stuff safer, like grab a hammer or something safer. And then Recal keeps your Mals, your Hulks, your Red Skulls alive. So I dropped the Hydra card in lieu of that. And that's fine because when I play Hydra leadership, I've got plenty of named character cards to choose from to make my five.
And that makes sense that Sleeper Agent would be something that you hold for a more mono affiliated or even just a dual affiliated roster where you're going to be planning on playing Hydra more often than not. Maybe it's the main.
Yeah.
The main squeeze that's a place that card would, when you initially said it, I was kind of taken aback that you weren't using it, you know, because
when
you use Hydra, the immediate thinking is Sleeper Agent. You got to have a like just kick butt Sleeper Agent, right?
It's my 11th card.
Yeah, that makes complete sense. And I could also see it eking its way in over time, but it makes sense that it's not there.
Also being full transparency for you and the listeners, like Hulk is in this list. Like when you see a Hulk in a list, you typically are like, okay, they're playing that Hulk more than 50% of the time, probably.
Oh, right? Yeah. If
that's Hulk not the is, case for me
if in this Hulk list. Is on my tray, you better believe I'm trying to put him on the field every game.
So that's not the case for me. Hulk mainly comes out during the Deceit, during the Mystique leaderships when I need to go full control, full objective based. And so the Hydra stuff, you know, it's strong. It's actually my primary goal to play if I get the shapes I want to get the Hydra leadership, but if it doesn't work out, that's okay. And I really don't need Hulk and Hydra most of the time. But that is the 11th card. And it can go in and out as I please. Once again, I'm running triple affiliated, so the card strain is real. Let's talk about my secures and extracts. So my secures are, this is the fun one, Chris. This is where people might be like, oh, you're definitely not running the aggro because I'm not running at Main Street. I'm not running E's. I'm not running C's.
Oh, my.
I'm running all D's. So I'm running Riot's Spark of Extremis, Portals Overrun City with Spider People, and Cosmic Invasion Black Order Descends Upon the Earth. So the super wide D shape. D's are the best shape in the game, in my opinion, because you guys know I love the B shape, things like traps and stuff, but that's for a different reason. That's the pay to flip. But like this D shape, it rewards good play more than any other shape. There's no like...
Interesting.
Like when you play Gamma sometimes, you can play a perfect game, and your opponent just dices you out randomly, right? Because everyone's in the middle, right? There's just targets. There's, you know, on a D shape, it's like the better player will mainly win because it's like, if you can just rotate better than your opponent, if you can win turn zero better than your opponent, do all these things, because rotating is so hard on a D shape because it is so far, you know? If you don't have long movers, if you don't have large base models with longer moves, you're just going to have a tough time. So I've learned that I just really like the D shapes. Of course, you know, comes no surprise. I like to play spider portals with my X-Men. I've played some of these other ones, Web Warriors and stuff. So my thought process for this list was, well, why don't I just make my secures and extracts things people don't like to play on and I let them choose. Mm-hmm. And then I just build the team that I think I can play on that. And that continues in my extracts. So because I've got Struggle for the Cube, of course, 5-wide extract. I've got Mutant Extremist Target Senators, of course, a 6-wide extract. And then I've got Hammers, which is only 4-wide. This could also be Skrulls. This could also be Montesi if I really want to slow the game down. But once again, I told you, I'm not slowing the game down. I'm putting the gas on the scoring, and then I have the threat of damage on top of that.
I really like that. I will say, slight tangent, I am so excited for a few more crisis cards so we're not seeing Hammers in every bag.
Yeah, I think...
I know it's coming. I know
we'll
it's
still
just,
see it a lot.
I know it's just a matter of time. And yes, you're going to like one or it's two more crisis... Fun.
Yeah.
It's good. It's good. It's classic MCP. It's
yep.
is a wonderful way to teach people the game because it, like I said, it's just classic MCP. And I love that about it. But when you're building, it's kind of like,
am I Hammers team or not?
When it's you're building, it's kind of like, okay, what are my two extracts and Hammers? And then
that's funny.
I mean, honest, but I'm being honest, right? Like,
could be. Yeah. I mean, especially your teams.
Well, yeah, I like to roll dice for sure. But that's part of the thing is Hammers generally helps teams like mine, but it like the teams I like to play, but it doesn't help them the most.
Mm.
So there's always someone out there that's got a better Hammers team than me. And Hammers is in my list and it's in their list and it's in everybody's list. And I don't know. I'm not sure this has gone longer than I thought it would.
Okay.
This is my villain monologue for the day, I guess.
It's pretty good. But yeah,
Hammers, it's great, mm-hmm. but also Hammers. We've seen it a ton.
It's super fun. Everyone loves playing it. Everyone thinks they're the best at it. And also the D shape. I think most people are playing this because...
Oh, the shape is great.
There's just a guaranteed safe one that yep. no one can steal or deception... and things like that. So it's like, if you grab your side one, you feel safe. You're like, oh, I'm at parity with my opponent, right?
Yeah.
I think that's a big part of it.
All of these things make complete sense. I'm just ready for some more Agreed. Options. That's all.
And the reason why it's in my list and the reason why cubes are in my list as well, they have a commonality between them. That is, I can scoop up more than one with a big, big sized character, like yeah. a Juggernaut, like a Mal, like a Red Skull, right? So I like that. Because obviously I'm probably going to either be this wide, super wide Mystique, or I'm going to be a little taller than my opponent. So I can't really, things like Skrulls or even, you know, PPP and stuff like that. Those are things that like, when you can only hold one, it might be more of a detriment to me. And once again, this list, I'm actually playing objective. I'm not playing kill you like super fast, you know? So that's kind of how it went, but that's both of our lists. Let's move on to the rounds. Of course, this was just a 3-round local tournament. So we'll keep this pretty simple and we're going to have some in-depth game deep dives here, and we're gonna start with round one. So of course, round one, there's 7 of us. I got the bye. This is my first bye I've ever gotten in a tournament, Chris, ever for MCP.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I think I've gotten more byes than you.
I've always had to play all my games out.
You've probably gone to like 3 or 4 times the tournaments I have at this point.
Yeah, and I think a lot of that's testament to most tournaments, good organizers try to find a way to not have a bye early on. And if people drop, there's buys later on, right? But I'm typically, sure. I'm not getting those because I'm not losing it as much. So it's like,
oh, okay. I'm just kidding.
Yeah. So what I'm saying is once you get past a certain, like once you're like 2 games in, it's very unlikely you're going to give a buy as long as you're like 1-1, right?
Sure. Yeah.
Like it's just not going to happen.
As long as you're in the top half of the tournament. Yeah.
You'll never get one. But I think I've just gotten lucky not getting them at these tournaments with like 7 stuff. I mean, I say not lucky. A buy an MCP is a great tool because it's a 14 point win now.
But it's not fun.
But it's not fun. Yeah, because you want to. But, you know, this ended up working out well for me because.
Well, you got to TO a little bit. You got to hang out. You got to watch.
Yeah, I became the unofficial TO because there was a lot of events going on at our local store this day. We were packed house.
Oh,
we were
yeah.
fully maxed
I think,
out.
And I think we only had 2 tables allotted to us. I think there were. Two or three collector card games doing tournaments.
Crazy stuff, yeah.
And one was massive. I forgot what
it was. One Piece.
It was the One Piece CCG, yeah.
Just getting massive, yeah. So, yeah, it was helpful. And also for me to TO, and also, you know, we're playing on all my terrain, so that was helpful as well to help, like, set up and help with terrain sizes and stuff like that. So round one, I got a bye. Unfortunate, because I did want to play 3 rounds of this. I was really looking forward to it because it is hard for me to get time off for these as well. So it is what it is, Chris, but let's talk about your round one game.
Excellent.
Against my good friend, Josh, playing Criminals.
Yeah. And you know, Josh is now a good friendly acquaintance of mine. I like Josh a lot.
Very good.
Josh and I play close games. It's what we do. And it was no different this day. I, of course, had my Guardians. Josh won priority. He of course, is playing a Shadowlands Daredevil list.
Shadowlands and Kingpin. He can
and
go
Kingpin,
between the two.
You're right. I think he went Kingpin against me.
So yeah, he won priority, which means he got his secures, which is
he
the
did.
Kingpin dream.
He did. So we played Paranoia and we played Infinity Formula. It was a really close game.
Oh, so you did take Paranoia. Maybe
well,
Paranoia
was
my
secures looked a lot like his, so he took his extracts.
I see. I gotcha.
It was pretty good move on his part.
Yep, definitely.
So we ended up playing on 17 threat here. I would bring my core. Now, the last time I played Josh, this is when my Agent Venom lost me the game because Killmonger Doom prophesied him, and I lost the game by 1 point, right? So I did not bring Agent Venom in this match, given what happened last time. So my team was Nebula, Rocket, Star-Lord, Groot, Beta Ray Bill, and finished it off with Hulk.
Guardians are nuts, man.
Dude, Guardians, like, I've really been enjoying them.
Yeah, they're the creme of the crop right now. Yeah,
they're very good right now. My heart's not in it, but I'm enjoying playing them.
Mm.
So, now, listener, you'll have to forgive me because I do not remember the round-to-round on this game extremely well. I do know that Ulick and Bill were getting after it.
Yeah, so we're setting the stage here. It's Infinity Formula, so it's that
yes.
the side B points, right? So obviously there's fights going up and down, and you guys are playing Paranoia, which is just all in the midline for
so fun.
Four extracts. Yeah, that is really fun. Good call on Josh's part, pulling that out of, you know, because like you said, your secures are similar. And I did catch some of y'all's game. Of course, this is on one of my newly brand new unveiled boards, which is the Krakoa map, which is very exciting for me.
It's very cool. I did stuff. We threw everything.
The tree portals,
we threw the portals.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry, Krakoa. Please do not
it's not
please don't send Black Tom Cassidy after us.
Yeah. All the trees,
yeah, man.
All the plants.
It was a really, really good game. And like I said, I discovered how to take care of Ulick. And the answer is roll fire. And honestly, guys, I think it was round three. I was just throwing Nebula at Ulick because that's what Nebula's there for. You just throw her at things. I love her.
Yeah, I love her too.
So I used her spender. I think he was fully healthy on his injured side.
Full health.
By the end of her activation with one spender and one gainer, Ulick was off the table.
Crazy.
She exploded into like five or six hits.
She can reroll all her dice.
And she rerolled into all of that, plus the winging it token. It was absolutely insane. It's how I won the game. I ended up taking the game 19-18.
What a game. Yeah, I came by you guys' table at some point, and I saw Bill walk up and do a 12-hit attack on someone.
I was rolling fire to this day.
Which is good against Kingpin criminals because once you flip them all, they can't do their leadership anymore.
I had Kingpin on the right side of the table for most of the game, and I ended up removing him from the table, which was huge. Getting his leadership off the table was massive. That's when I had a massive point swing back in my favor. Paranoia, super fun. I need more time on it to get better at getting that extra point at the end during scoring.
Okay. You're saying just like figuring that part out, making sure I was getting that.
Yeah. Making sure I'm always getting it, making sure I'm leaving a character with an extract that can easily be gotten within two of, you know, type thing. So
yeah. And I assume did Josh score up early like criminals
do?
Yes,
he absolutely did.
Yeah, of course, because you haven't damaged his stuff yet.
He was up very, very large early. I wasn't sure how I was going to bring it back, but I did somehow. Just grabbed as many extracts as possible. And, you know, my super, super effective, super smart guy Ulick plan.
Very good. Yeah, Josh loves Ulick and he's been rocking him all of
his
plays.
He's so good at him, man.
Yeah, man.
Josh is a fantastic player.
Ulick is a nightmare to deal with on Infinity Formula because essentially if you're playing Ulick right, which you should be, you're always on an Infinity Formula at the end of your turn. So right. Next turn, you will get the Asgardian power, his trollish temper, and then one from the Infinity Formula, and you will have your hop online again and again and again and again every round.
Yeah, it's like putting the power gem on him.
Yeah, it's like you can hop between the Infinity Formulas all game and just dominate what you need to dominate, push people off, and it is extremely powerful. And highly recommend it, trying him on Infinity Formula for that very reason, and just keep him moving, because I've learned that Uluk's biggest weakness is planting his feet, really, because I've called him the aggro juggernaut, and I'm still calling him the aggro juggernaut. And what I mean by that is, like, Juggernaut's biggest goal in life is not planting his feet either. It's just always moving, always being mobile and tanky.
Yeah.
But he doesn't do a ton of damage. He just does like one punch that's pretty strong. Juggernaut.
And you're hoping, yeah, you're essentially hoping for a spike on his punch.
Yeah, it's a big punch. It's likely it'll do some damage, but you want that spike. And then you're just moving him around. Uluk's very similar, where it's like Uluk hits harder innately, but he's a little less tanky than Juggs, of course, by a noticeable amount, especially with the power thing on Juggs. But then it's also like he's so mobile. I mean, the troll hop is like slightly under range 5. So if you put down a range 5 from Uluk and just go slightly under range 5, that's how far he can do his hop.
Yeah.
And I'm not talking the tactics card, which is actually range 5. I'm talking the regular hop. And then if he has the tactics card on top of that, but his goal is to be mobile, because I've learned that anywhere he gets bogged down, I would not ever recommend taking him on an E-map, for instance, right? Because he's not doing his strongest ability, which is mobility and killing things around the map when he needs to kill things. He's just sitting in the middle of the gamma and getting shot, right? It's really bad for him. So the more spread it is, a D shape, a B shape, he is awesome. But the tighter it gets, I've just learned, you know, unless you just get some early dazes and KOs and stuff, it's a really tight map. He's just not going to perform quite as well as maybe another 5 threat would better on those tight maps. So that's been my experience. But Chris, let's move on to round 2. You had a insane game round 2. We'll talk about your game first, of course, and we'll talk about my round 2 game.
I'm still mad about this one. Not mad. I say wrong term. A very large smile on my face. I'll put it that way.
You learned something this one. That's,
well,
you know,
it was another great game against another buddy, you know?
Well, yeah, of course. And I always say, like, every game of NCP, you learn something, every win and every loss. But I think in every loss, you learn more typically, unless you're just like in that testing mode where all your wins, you're like, well, let's look at this constructively. Did I really spike a lot round 2? I did. So, like, let's actually look at what I did learn from this game, you know, this win. And losses, I think you just learn more, because the points stick out in your mind, the decision tree and the path you took sticks out more in your mind, in my experience. Mm-hmm. So round 2, you were playing on 18 threat on the Cosmic Invasion, which is very cool, because
we were on your new Fisk construction site map.
Okay, very cool. So the construction yard in the desert, a lot of construction equipment, shipping some containers.
Some shady Las Vegas business dealings happening.
That's exactly what it is.
And the Guardians of the Galaxy are here to figure it out.
Shipping containers, you know, pallets of supplies, and of course all those big things like the excavators and dump trucks and stuff.
Yeah, and they've all got mud all over them. They look great. It's another one of Jesse's great boards.
I appreciate that, Chris. I will preface with this board. I had an interesting thought process when making this board. I was like, okay, what if this is the board? And I think this is how you create interesting tournaments. I was like, what if this is the board without a 5? Because, you know, I love 5s on this show. Mm-hmm. A5 on a board. I know a lot of tournament TOs don't even use 5s. I think that's a huge mistake. I've already talked about it before. Like, you just nullify wall crawler in flight. Like, you make the web warriors like unusable. It's like so silly.
Yeah.
But,
and they're having a moment right now.
They're having a moment. But I also think, like, if you don't do a 5, I think it's interesting to go 2 or 3 4s.
More 4s, yeah.
That's what this board is. This board is the Fisk construction yard trailer, which is a 4, a medium size excavator, which is a 4, and of course, like, the Oscorp truck and like a dump truck, which are 4s. So it's like, it's got some 4s. It's a little heavy on 4s, and then everything else is balanced out according to that. And that makes it fun. And I preface all that because all these 4s get thrown in this game because I look over at you guys.
Yeah, we do.
So dude, you guys end up playing the Cosmic Invasion, which is, I guess, Dennis's objective.
Yes, 100% Dennis's objective. 18 spoiler threat. Alert. Spoiler alert. My opponent here is Dennis Harlan, the infamous.
He's on this podcast. Yeah.
And his Malekith Cabal.
He always makes these tournament report episodes because it turns out he's always, because
he's an awesome player and he's always doing something. Dennis does it the way Dennis wants to do it, and he does it well. Okay.
Yeah, he locks into his play style
and he just goes for it. He is not listening to, he is not building rosters from other tournaments that have won, that other people have won with. He's doing it all himself. Dennis is a very interesting, awesome dude. We're very lucky. This tournament was full of interesting, awesome dudes.
Absolutely. Anyway,
so I'm running five wide. I'm running the Guardian Core, Star-Lord, Rocket, and Groot, of course. Yeah, I'm running Hulk, and I'm running Beta Ray Bill. Beta Ray Bill is awesome. I love him.
Bill is awesome. I misspoke. I said Cosmic Invasion. You guys played Intrusions and Hammers, which very scary, Chris, because y'all are both attrition teams. Those are two attrition objectives.
A little foreshadowing there for you, bud. What a game, man. This one came down to a big mistake I made in throwing his Ulic away when I should have thrown his Ulic into a Juggernaut.
That's the final play of the game, right?
Yeah. It wasn't the final play of the game. It was the final line of the game that ended up letting Dennis take this game. I ended up losing 13-8. I was the 13. Dennis tabled me.
Wow. That's some killing in that game.
It was my first time to be tabled ever in this game.
Mm.
And it was, like I said, I do believe that if I would have not thrown the Ulic away, if I would have thrown him into Juggernaut, I believe that Juggernaut would have dazed, and I believe that that would have saved me a KO that turn, and I would have been able to recover. But, of course, we'll never know, because I didn't do it. Instead, Dennis played an excellent game.
Dennis was just four wide, which is still really scary. I mean, he's got Bullseye score and stuff, but then he's got...
Yeah, so it was Ulic and Mal. So I should have thrown the Ulic. So, I did end up taking Mal off the table, which was very cool. Like I said, almost won. This game really, really came down to it. He didn't have much left on the table after all my models had been removed. But I was also, we would have been able to score for that round. You know, I would have been able to get to 16 and win. So super interesting game, super fun. Groot took a lot of punishment in this one.
Like he does.
Dennis correctly saw that I had two tactics cards involving Groot. And of course, Groot is going to be up in a compromised position because he's one of the toughest characters in the game. Plus, he has a heal. You know, you just want him up in it, right?
Yep.
But Dennis focused him down, did not allow me to get his self-heal off, did not allow me to play Deadly Duo, did not allow me to play We Are Groot. Excellently played by Dennis. He played an excellent game, just like Josh played an excellent game. Like I said, I lost this one. Into our last round, I really thought I was going to meeting you on the final table. Me and Dennis were fighting to play against you for the tournament that day. And Dennis ended up taking it. Well-deserved, well-played. Really fun game.
Yeah, and between Hulk and Bill, you had thrown all those size fours. I was looking over and it was just nuts. It was like the Fisk Construction Yard is fairly heavy map, and it was just a barren wasteland by the end. Everything had been, it's also why we love MCP, right? No other game has that.
When we started this podcast, Jesse, you were telling anyone who would listen how good throws in Marvel Crisis Protocol are. And over the course of the years, you have absolutely just imprinted that into me, and now I throw everything I can every turn I can.
Yeah, absolutely. It's like changing your miniature's brain, right?
It's from
attacks to throws and stuff. Well, and it's like, I think you've learned a lot too, like, because you've seen what I've done with throws, where it's like throws to me are one of two things: they're guaranteed damage,
bingo,
or they're a pseudo stagger.
Right To me, there I think there's one more area you have to think about them now these days. You're absolutely correct, but I also want to throw the idea of preemptive throwing, you know,
like a
preemptive strike.
Angel's good at that.
Get that size four terrain off the board before it can be thrown at your face.
Yeah. And of course, like if you're Brotherhood player, great strategy, because you can throw it and blow it up and you still got a team benefit from it. But yeah, absolutely. Just take stuff away from those Hulks and stuff. Very strong. So, Chris, I did not have an easy round two. What do you know?
No, you didn't.
I played Moobs Jones. We always talk about how strong Moobs is on this show.
He's a very, very good player.
His play has skyrocketed in the recent year, honestly. Like, we talked about Moobs being so strong early on in the show, right? One of our best local players, and
still there.
It's higher. It's like, because he's been working on his competitive play and tweaking his list and stuff. And of course,
he's been working on his technical play.
That's right.
He is tweaking so little technically dials. Sound. It's nuts.
That's how you get really good. That's how you get the wins on your belt, right? So he, of course, was playing Trap House Spider Foes, which of course is Spider Foes with Cassandra Nova. So we end up playing on the Highlands map. Of course, it's a hilly. We got these like pagan sacrificial rocks, and we got these like Highland hills and stuff and trees. We played on that map. And on this, unfortunately, I lost priority. But once again, with this list, I'm not sweating that like I would an X-Men. You know, I'm just like, you know what? You pick your poison. I know how to play both of my stuff. So Moobs picked my secures, which makes a lot of sense. It's a D shape. Spider Foes are pretty darn good on that.
Yes, sir.
And then he has extracts, but Spider Foes are awesome at their extracts. They are really an extract team at heart. And if they can get a wide secure on top of that, they are cooking with gas. So we pulled my spider portals, and then we pulled spider infected. It was a spider. People. Yeah. Immediately, I'm very worried because Spider Foes pulling spider infected, it's kind of their dream, right? Because they can just get around, pick up the spider infected, collect them. They're not affected by the mobility as much when you get pulled by the spider people because they're all medium-based movers, right? So they really love this objective. The pay to flip, it's my weakest objective out of all these for me. By far. But once again, I wanted to keep that D shape. In order to keep the D shape, I'd had to bring my third D, which is a pay to flip. And I'm fine with it because you'll see what I do in this game. So the list end up being, we end up playing on 18 threat. And the list ends up, my list ends up being Red Skull, Hydra with Mal, Bucky, and Zemo. Pretty lean and mean, four wide at 18 threat. But I wanted to maintain priority if I could get it at some point. Unfortunately, he has priority, so we're already off to a rocky start because as long as he'll just keep it, right? Because he's five wide and he'll go first. I'm four wide and we'll just be, he'll keep the priority. But if I do some certain things, I can get priority round two onward and I can then kind of push on the attrition. He ends up playing five wide, like I mentioned, Goblin, Lizard, Doc Ock, Rhino, and Bill. This is a very scary list. He's got two beefy characters, and then he's got Goblin and Ock, which of course means we're playing a five wide objective. He's going to play well-laid plans. It's going to be nuts. You do it every time on the five wide ones because it's can just win you the game. And I choose Hydra leadership on this because something I've been liking with the Hydra leadership, which is just gain additional power in the power phase. If you're playing the game, if you're holding an extract or sitting on a secure, I can put Mal directly on the middle objective. On the back D, he's touching the back D already. Round one, he gets that power, top of round one. So he's got his charge online round one.
That's so wild, dude.
Without advanced R&D, it's pretty
cool. That's a pretty nice little game break there.
Yeah, and once again, it's not really for the killing power. It's for me.
The movement.
Flying somewhere, charging somewhere, and getting to a side point, right? And that's the goal. I love it. I end up putting Red Skull on my left flank and end up putting kind of Bucky in the middle, Mal in the middle, Zemo kind of in the middle. And this game goes interesting directions, a lot of different ways. Basically, we both have some unlucky pay to flips where we just don't flip them or where they place us, you know, which is the nature of spider portals.
Yeah.
Something I do this game, I thought for sure he would pick up, basically he ends up like taking the side points, right, with his characters and of course the back point. But something that does have this game the very beginning, which was insane, he of course uses the trap on one of my back spider people.
Of course
I end up eating it with Mal because I was like, you know, the last time Moobs and I played, he rolled like a 5 damage trap. I was like, I need to like, yeah.
I've like, lost the next 23 to those traps before. I'm also very nervous every time I trigger them with like a 3 threat or a 4 threat.
Yeah, I did it with Widow in our last game and she just didn't go round one.
Yeah.
Right? So it's like 23 is a really good one to eat it because she can heal it back, which is
she can great. Unless
they unless just spike they, really take high. Her off the
yeah unless they daze her.
So I was like, I gotta eat this with Mal. Ate it with Mal, took 4 damage, just craziness. Also got pushed back, right, which is massive for Mal. So smart that I ate it with Mal, real bad that I got pushed back. But basically the way this game goes is he picks up a spider with Rhino and kind of gets positioned in the middle of the map. And I see this as an opportunity to shoot Rhino a lot with Bucky with Zemo rerolls.
And
I just kind of have Bucky and Zemo in the middle, and I just shoot Rhino. And I end up doing a ton of damage to Rhino and dazing him at the top of round two. And this kind of dictates the flow of the game, because Goblin's on a side, on my right side, just winning that spider port. I'm just going to let that happen. I'm not going to go fight Goblin. And I'm pushing up. I'm on the left side with Red Skull and Mal. Mal kind of repivots back after taking that huge, like, Mal just didn't do anything for like a turn and a half, and that's fine. But taking off Rhino early is good, because I end up setting myself in a position to take Rhino off the table round three. And when I take Rhino off the table round three, it's like,
that's huge.
His mobility is gone.
So much mobility gone. So much tankiness gone.
Yeah.
Yeah. And not to mention, look,
with the reroll,
there's something I'm starting to realize, Jesse. When you got Rhino and you've got Hulk and we've got Jugs,
these are
big bases that play a little bit of an interesting positional game on the secures. We are living in a world where it is possible to just keep people from being within one with your giant character bases. So just something to start thinking about, folks.
Try to block up spots with terrain and stuff for sure. It was a weird game, because I was playing a lot of pressure with Red Skull, but he wasn't really killing people like he normally does, but he was pushing like Lizard.
That's
and
what Ryan, you need.
Lizard
that's
and
all you really
stuff.
Need.
So that was fine. Bill was an absolute menace in this game. He did a lot. This game gets crazy. At one point, I'm on the side spider infected portal. I black Bifrost to his back one close to his deployment, right? I go through it with Mal, and now we're playing this game of people like Zemo, Bill, Mal, just using the Bifrost all the time and just doing what they need to do for both of our teams. Like, I brought Bifrost because it's a D map and it was more just to give me mobility. I don't know if playing Bifrost was the right play this game, but it was just kind of like my goal was I was going to play it either way.
I love games like that. I'm going to see if this is going to work. Yeah.
But I would not recommend giving Bill a Bifrost portal.
Fair enough.
Bill's only weakness, genuinely, is action economy. Everything else he has in spades. So if you give him action economy, if you let him get between two major secures on the map and double tap and stuff like that, and he's getting his throws off, you know, you're hurting. So what was interesting about this game is I never engaged Goblin. Like, Goblin was kind of off the other side, and I let him score that stuff.
When I play moves in his spider foes, I just don't touch Goblin unless I'm throwing him away.
Yeah. No, it's
helpful. Just don't put damage on him at all.
You've either got to delete him or you've got to ignore him. There's really no good middle ground.
You can't let that glider ram get online.
Moves had some great plays. He had an amazing, well-laid plan that made me drop a ton of stuff.
Dude, he's so good at that. I can't play that card that well. Like,
you
got to
wait
until
the right moment. Yeah,
I know.
It's like got to be the right one. His lizard was just blocking everything and just staying around, which is great. And I don't know, MVP, Bucky and Zemo, not actually Mal and Red Skull. Mal and Red Skull were doing the thing I was talking about where it's like they were just putting pressure constantly. Look at us. We're going to kill your models. And even though when they whiffed attacks, it was fine because they're still in your face. Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Bucky and Zemo are scoring spider infected and they're killing Rhino from a distance and stuff, right?
They're presenting a problem you have to deal with while your other characters go about their business.
Yeah. And Bucky was insane this game because obviously he built a ton of power early on. So he could start Hydra tacticsing all over. He can leapfrog off all of his teammates and kind of mini storm hops, right? And get where he needed to be every time, which obviously is very helpful because he's always either attacking or flipping objectives when he needs to. So it ended up being a really good game. I was really scared to play Spider Foes on a D shape with Spider Infected, but my gut of saying dominate a side and not split was the right decision. Like, if Zemo was over on that side point with Goblin, it's just like, okay, maybe he doesn't score it. Maybe we don't, either one of us don't score. That's my best outcome.
But you're losing, and you're losing all those strategic genius rerolls. Yeah.
It's just not worth. Zemo's nuts, man. I'm finally playing with him in this game after 3.5 years. It's just a crazy, crazy thing. I've talked about it on the podcast recently.
Dude, when in doubt, just throw him in, you know?
Fast, consistent. What else more could you ask for, you know? So
he's awesome.
I could have played Mystique this game, but I was like, no, this is a Zemo game because I want the rerolls and I want some things like that. So I ended up taking this game. Oh, and I will say, there was a round where I thought I had it in the bag. Moves has a high roll on Doc Ock where he counts those wilds, you know? Does a bunch of damage, ends up dazing a character, dropping a spider, flipping a portal. Yeah. Now we go one more round, right? And it's like,
dude,
whoa.
It's really
Doc Ock, man.
in the moment, it's kind of wind out of your sails when you're the one that's happening to. But that's what's so great about this game is those dramatic moments like that.
Cinematic.
Yeah, it's super cinematic. And Atomic Mass has done a great job of building a game that gives us those kind of moments. And
yep.
Absolutely. I love it. I love this game. It's super fun. It's so fun.
No, I just think remember like our fights in this game and like how they went, our little skirmishes. Because that's another thing about the D map is like the battles that happen are like split, you know? So that's very cool. So I ended up taking this game 17-13 because we do go that one more round. We score out. Goblin ends up coming in the very end and does some stuff, but at that point it was too late. Yeah, what a great game. Spider Portals and Spider People is a really scary, weird one because people are getting pulled all over the place all the time, right? Spider portals are pushing you all over the place and the spider people are pulling you all over the place. But Chris, we're going to move on to round three. I am 2-0 and you are 1-1.
Yeah.
What was round three looking like for you?
Jesse, I was reeling from my loss against Dennis.
Being that high up on points and being tabled.
Yeah. And just knowing that I chose the wrong line and made a couple of simple mistakes that I recognized as soon as I got done doing them, you know, and it just eats at you. So I was going up against another good player, John, local player, went to Warfare Weekend. He was top cut in the Warmer Hordes tournament, I do believe.
Yeah.
So a very, very good experienced tabletop player. He was playing Magneto Brotherhood.
So he was playing Magneto. You sit across from Magneto and it looks like you guys pulled Senators and Infinity Formula.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So, and the threat ends up being 19. So what were the teams at 19?
Magneto, Scarlet Witch, Juggernaut, and Zemo. Okay.
Scary.
Yeah, it was.
Four wide. Yeah.
And look, John took it to me here.
Your list though?
My list. I left Groot at home for this one.
Okay.
I went with Star-Lord, Rocket, Agent Venom, Beta Ray Bill, and the Hulk.
There's Hulk again. Yep.
Oh, I played him all day, and he
Infinity
was awesome.
Infinity Formula. I like this because...
I like Infinity Agent Formula Venom, for my list. I like Infinity Formula for my play style.
Okay.
What happened here is John sent Juggernaut down my right flank. So I wanted to get really, really cute.
Mm-hmm.
Move over, throw him away, and then Gamma Leak back towards... This is round two. And then Gamma Leak back towards Magneto and deal with him. But it didn't happen. I took the wrong line.
Mm.
John made some good plays. And Magneto just shredded me the entire game. I took a wrong early line, and John played it perfectly and punished Magneto me.
And Scarlet Witch, both.
Yes.
That's a lot of damage.
Yes. Beta Ray Bill just couldn't get it going. My dice started to peter out. And like I said, my dice are not why I lost this game. I made a very poor decision in rounds 1 and 2 that lost me this game. And full credit to John. He punished me for that decision and he punished me properly. And he played very, very well. He ended up taking this one 21-12.
Earlier in the cast, you were alluding to Senators is how you beat Chris. And Chris and I have played Senators a couple times now, so I assume that's part of this.
I just can't figure him out.
Yeah, it's a tough one. Hulk's really good at it because he can grab one and then back up, right, with it, like potentially. But were the Senators interesting in this one? I'm actually kind of shocked John went Mags with the 6 extracts on the board and didn't go the Mystique because we know Mystique's so good in Senators because of that first class leadership, because of she can go wider.
I think he had a strategy for the day of I'm going to play Mags leadership. I'm going to learn it. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Because he's typically a Mystique player.
Yeah. And he played it well, man.
Okay.
He just, that Magneto and Scarlet Witch left flank, I could not do anything with. Okay. I just couldn't get through it.
And then he had more Senators?
He had more Senators. And I mean, with Juggernaut throwing such a big monkey wrench into my plan,
okay,
you know, he's got 5 threat dealing with, I think, 9 on the right side, holding up 9 threat. And it's just...
Sounds like Juggs.
The math was just very, very wrong for me. I played right into his hands and he played it right.
Mm. So yeah, John M's taking this game 21-12. So it sounds like he just picked up all the Senators last round, scored out in a major way. Yeah.
Yeah.
Mags though, man. I mean, if he gets rolling, he's great. If he doesn't, he's not. He's one of those, he's a very fair 6 threat, you know? And I like that. I mean, he's just very like, he
nothing
is a little
fair MCP. Yeah.
I don't know. It's cool to see Witch out because
Agreed.
She's been gone for some time, and for her to do work, and that was a good play. I mean, I think she's actually pretty good into some of the stuff you're bringing Guardians, because you're kind of wanting to see things that are weak to energy, and you're not, mystic attacks aren't necessarily the best into you. Like,
right.
I mean, that's kind of scary. Someone like Agent Venom does not like mystic attacks at all. So makes perfect sense. Did anything happen of note in this game with Bill or Agent Venom?
No, like I said, this game, as far as learning goes,
okay,
wasn't very good because of just the
turn big zero stuff.
Turn one and zero mistakes. Mm. Just throw such a big monkey wrench into everything. And I just got down so quickly, so early.
Okay.
You know, this was a 3-round game.
Wow.
So, or 4-round game or something. So it's not like.
Yeah. Yeah. I got you. Yeah, the senator's on the table. That's a lot of points every round on the table.
Exactly. And I made my mistake and I learned my lesson. Don't get too cute.
Okay. Chris's advice for the day. Very good. So I go to the final table. Of course, Dennis at this point is 2-0. I'm 2-0. Little fun backstory on this. Dennis and I had already played this week in the Fury's Finest Secret War League. Out of 40 players, we got paired against each other. That's how it goes.
That's fantastic.
That is the random dice roll of things. And we played in the league. I played my Hydra into his Malkabal. I ended up taking that game. It was a very tough one. I played very defensively in that game and it won me the game. We play again at this tournament and mm-hmm. we're both playing similar lists again. And I was like, well, I really want to win priority because I did not win priority against Dennis this week. And when you're playing these tall lists, priority is actually very helpful because when you're both playing tall, that whole situation can happen where it's like, oh, he's going to have priority all game and I'm going to be in trouble, you know, if I don't do things or I win the roll or do certain things throughout the game. Unfortunately, he got priority and he looks at my objective. He's like, I don't like any of these. I don't like any of these secures, any of these extracts because Dennis is more of an attrition player. And of course, I'm more an objective right. player. And so he ends up taking my secures, even though he doesn't like the D shapes as much. He's like, I'm just hoping to pull that last one. And we pull it and we end up playing Alien Ship and Extremis, I believe. And Alien Ship is his. And obviously he's slowing the game down. We end up playing 17 threat, I believe. And it's weird because I was like, okay, don't think I'm going to win the attrition off. I mean, I could. We can play that game. But, you know, I don't like to. Chris knows I don't like to see who yeah. rolls better dice. I like to see who can win the game better. So I was like, this is a good time for me to go Mystique, kind of go wide and just keep the score up every round and survive. You know, and rotate and rotate and rotate. So his list ends up being Mal, Leadership, Ulic, Hood, and Bullseye. I mean, all top tier models, all scary, aggressive stuff. My list ends up being Mystique, Leadership, Mystique, Jugs, Toad, Bob, and Red Skull. And my thought with Red Skull was, I don't necessarily think Red Skull was the right play here. I think probably making Bob and Red Skull a 4 and a 3 is actually better than what I did. But my thoughts were, you know, I love Red Skull. I'm trying stuff out. Let's see how he performs in the Mystique leadership. Maybe Red Skull can remove someone like Hood early. And I'm just slightly up on that attrition, but then I'm still winning the game through the objectives, rotating with the Mystique leadership. That seems good. Red Skull is the question, and then I'm still winning the game without him, you know? Well, Red Skull ends up not doing much of anything this game, so a little bit of dice luck, but also, like, kind of confirmed my thoughts, like, oh, should this been, like...
Yeah.
Should this been, like, Dynamo and Bucky, and just, like, two guns, you know, or something?
Yeah.
So instead of Red Skull and Bob, Bob actually ends up performing well in this game, so it kind of evens out. But round one, Red Skull does his walk and his punch into Hood and does a lot of damage to Hood. And then I have the grunts over there too. I ended up picking up more alien ships than him. I do some cool stuff where I do Juggernaut and I grab the middle alien ship with Mystique leadership and then I slide back, you know, like just go full gross. X-Men, right? On him,
yeah.
kind of. And then I pick up my safe alien ship. He picks up his alien ship, so I'm up on extract. So as long as I match on the secures, I'll be okay. I end up matching on the secures. I am scoring really high round one over him. I'm scoring like 5 and he scores 2 or 3. And so top of round two, Hood just decides, oh, keep in mind, I keep Red Skull in his mystic defense because I like the immune to collisions more than I like the energy defense. It's just typically how I play him.
Sure. Because
immune to throws is a lot better than
yeah.
rolling 5 energy dice and praying they defend.
Unless you're Nebula.
Right. So Hood randomly just one shots Red Skull at the top of round two.
These things can happen.
It's crazy. Red Skull has 7 health and he's rolling 5 mystic.
That's pretty,
I'm not really sure how this happened, but it did happen. We saw the dice, you know, I blanked out and he critted like crazy. And Red Skull is gone top of round 2, because once again, Dennis has priority, right? Because I went wider. That was an active decision by me. And I should have leaned more into the wider, like I said, and got a little bit more beef. This is scary because Red Skull's not going this round. I'm down 5 threat. And I'll just get pretense out of the way. Top of round 3, he had priority again. One-shotted Red Skull with Mal.
Whew.
So guess what Red Skull did this game, Chris?
He walked
up and shot Hood one time hard, which was nice. Shot Hood one time with his gauntlets hard and then died. What did his grunts do all game? Well, Red Skull's day is top of 2, right? So the grunts, it's like they have an activate token on them,
right?
And then round 3, they don't do anything. So the grunts actually did nothing in the game either. So absolutely strong play on Dennis's part. The Hood spike basically kept the game going a lot longer because I was still rotating and scoring a little bit more. And I probably could have done that all game easier if Red Skull was around longer, because he could like keep their focus and punch more. But since Red Skull's gone now, he can rotate and start taking out my other characters. And it gets scary because you've got Ulic with all this mobility. You've got Mal with all this mobility. And for some reason, Mystique's on a flank with Bullseye and can't hurt him. Ooh, so now we're in the situation brutal. where it's like, okay, this is going to be one of those weird games. And I end up still scoring more every round for a while. And I do cool stuff with Toad where I hop away behind a building and stuff. And I come back in, I try to make sure he doesn't score the secure stuff like that. Simple Toad stuff. And Toad's tied him up. The game ends up coming down to I have a round where I can win it. I can clean it up. I can take it. I just got to score 1 point. Dennis ends up killing, one-shotting someone with Ulic, and they drop
the
alien ship, you know, and we go to another round. I was like, okay, so we're going to another round. We got to see what we can do. At this point, I just have Juggernaut, Mystique, and Bob left, and I finally kill Hood, which is great, and now I'm just dealing with Ulic and just letting Mal attack, and I run away. I'd never attacked Mal this game. How could I? Mystique leadership, right?
Yeah.
Like, how would I ever? And how could I ever hurt Ulic either, right? So my goal was to kill every other piece than Mal and Ulic if I could, and then just keep rotating, and it surviving. Mystique ended up surviving an attack with her martial artist, because that's what she does. And that probably kind of secures the game, because now Juggernaut's got a extract and he can just slide across the map to secure and win the game. Probably Dennis and I's closest score we've ever had. Our games are typically a little bit more explosive, either in score or in attrition, right?
Yeah,
so our final score is 16-13, because once again, we went to that extra round, and he's like, if I can table you this round.
Some classic MCP here.
Yeah. Crazy, right? Crazy game. So I ended up going 3-0 for the day, taking the tournament. And it was weird because it's like Mystique was definitely the play there, 100%. Like I can try to fight him with Mal and Hydra Red Skull and just see how it goes. But clearly the rotation worked because I was just running all around the map and making him chase me. And like that's an attrition player's nightmare, because it's like obviously they're not getting double attacks, right? Now Ulic almost brought the entire game back, because with his hop he was still double tapping, you know. So it's a miracle I survived Ulic's onslaught, but I also never gave him power, so that kind of helped balance it out. And Toad MVP, like
Toad's very good.
Like he took a lot of damage this game, and he definitely died, but he slowed down higher threat models scoring until he died. And even though I didn't have 5 threat round 2 onward, I was playing 12 threat game against his 17 threat round 2 the rest of the game, because Red Skull just didn't. I mean, it was just a crazy, in a weird way, Red Skull hurt me, because he walked up and gave Hood power round 1, right?
Exactly.
It almost is like if Red Skull is still in deployment, I'm just in a better spot. It's crazy, right? But it does happen, and it was an experiment. I don't think I would play necessarily Red Skull again in the future unless it was different threat levels with Mystique. But man, that Mystique leadership, like with the alien cores and stuff, so good. Like just picking them up, because they were dropped a lot this game and stuff. And the first class leadership helped. And I also put the Mystique token down a couple times and made him go deal with that too.
I love the Mystique token. Just like
it's fun.
Okay, look. Back when I was doing the Mystique Brotherhood, before it was good,
right?
We were doing the
Well,
and it wasn't. They didn't have all the pieces they have now either, or the crises they have now.
Mm.
But
it's more of the crisis for sure. Yeah,
we were doing the Jonathan the Amazing, Honey Badger card, and
Jonathan the Unstoppable, and
Mystique's leadership,
two tokens
on back points, and my whole team just up in people's faces. It was fun.
We talked about that a lot in After Dark. It's good stuff. No, definitely Mystique leadership has always been great. It's just them getting senators like now is like they've got pressure massive, they didn't have before.
They've got that extra activation that doesn't have to sit on secure, that can go grab a senator or go try to steal one from you. Like, it's huge.
And they're so intuitive for me, Chris, because I mean, I'm essentially just playing them like I play X-Men, you know?
Yeah.
And
they play similar.
They're a more objective-based X-Men. I mean, like, in the sense of, like, X-Men can pivot to damage. And
yes.
But, like, Mystique can't really pivot to damage. It's just more like, score out, don't die, rotate, you know, and score out. Very Web Warriors-centric. So that ends up being our...
I was thinking about the Web Warriors the entire time you were talking about this round three matchup with Dennis.
It was a crazy one. And that's kind of how I have to play against Dennis, because he's such a good player and he's such a strong attrition player. And it's like... Even in our league game, the same very week, I was playing Red Skull and Mal in my list, and I played super defensive. Like, because I know how he plays. Because
you know Dennis.
Yeah, and I know he's going to double tap and stuff, and I can't give him double taps. So, cause especially when dice are going to come online with someone like Mal. So, very cool game. We played on the Krakoa map, and you know, being really cool because the way the terrain interplayed with the objectives and stuff. But that ends up being the end of a tournament, Chris. So I do go 3-0 and take the tournament. I'm looking forward to the next one because hopefully I don't get the bye, first of all. And second of all, like, just learning new stuff. These tournaments are the best place to try a new list that you're trying to learn, because it's a competitive format that's not a qualifier. You know,
exactly. It's other people are bringing their competitive lists.
Yeah.
But if you go 1-2, you haven't lost anything. You've had a great day of MCP.
Yeah.
If you go 0-3, you've had a good day of MCP, and you've hopefully learned a lot and talked to people and figured out what you can do better next time. But yeah, you're not really losing anything aside, like, going to say, you know, when we go to Lone Star Open this year. We're going to be bringing the heat.
What we've been working on. Yeah.
That's what we've been working towards, of course. But these local tournaments are just, they're a mix between a round robin fun day with friends.
Yeah. Yeah.
And a little bit of like competitive, you know, we're all trying to win. So we're bringing, pretty good lists.
Oh yeah.
So it's just a great mix. Like you were saying, it's a wonderful mix of meeting in between the competitive and casual. And if you've got a good local scene and a good game store, hopefully you do, it's just not much better.
Oh, absolutely. And like, full disclosure, like, our store is like half the people here were running their main list, like Dennis playing now, like John playing Brotherhood, Josh playing Criminals, right? Like, those are all mains for those players. And then on top of that, it's like, our store has fully adopted the qualifier clock format.
Yes, which is huge.
Yeah, it's huge for us. It's huge for time, respecting people's time. And also, it's huge for more competitive games, because you can't run out that time, or you can't like take your opponent's time from them. They always have that 45 minutes. And that also makes it more competitive and more fun simultaneous. So it's also like, now every time we're playing at these, like, that element is also there, which is really nice.
Well, for me, doing it with no chess clocks was not going to happen. It just wasn't going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah.
I wasn't going to sacrifice a day of making money to go play two rounds in 5 or 6 hours. Not my idea of a good time.
Absolutely.
These chess clocks have been an absolute game changer as far as getting games in, as far as playing timely. It's
amazing.
It's absolutely incredible. In our early 20s, it didn't matter if we played a 10-hour game of Warhammer or Infinity or whatever, but there are families involved now. There are jobs involved. We are all grown up men, and we have lives. So
good stuff. Yeah.
It's hard to do that all day every other week like we used to, like we want to sometimes, but
we want to. Yeah.
And the chess clocks are just kind of that, dealing with that cold, harsh reality. You know, I know that playing on chess clocks can intimidate a lot of folks, and they intimidated me for a very long time until I played my first game on one. And then it was like, oh, no big deal.
Yeah. It's a perception. And also, like, if you're really running out of time on chess clock, it's information for you to know something you need to work on in the game, you know, because it's like, oh, my opponent's like got 30 minutes left and I've got 10 minutes left. Like, something is vastly weird here, you know.
Now, there are differences to that rule. There are squads like Shield and especially, I mean, if you're going like wide SAM, turns just take longer. The more activations you have, yeah. the more you're doing, the more dice you're rolling. So that's not a hard and fast rule, but it is a very, very good guideline of
yes.
something to remember. If you're running out of time and if you're on like two, like Jesse said, if you're at 1-2 minutes left at the end of this game and your opponent's sitting on 15-20, maybe evaluate your decision-making process, you know?
Yeah, and like the SAM lists and the wide lists and stuff like that, like, yeah, that definitely eats more of your time, 100%. But it's also like, you should not have as much decision tree paralysis, analysis paralysis with those lists, you know? Like, I get, it should even out at the end of the day, where it's like, okay, I charge with SAM, I throw a shield, I move, turns over, right? I completely understand the 3 or 4 wide list where it's like, okay, I do need to actually take a little more time on my Magneto turn. Because he's 6th threat. So there's like a balance. And obviously, if you're taking like, if you're doing all that crazy analysis paralysis and stuff on a wide list, maybe wide lists aren't for you. Let's just start there. Because I mean, it will eat your clock at a major event.
We are into some cold, harsh truths today.
Yeah.
All said with love.
Well, keep in mind too, like when you're the attacker, all of your opponent's stuff that they do, their defense rise rolls, all that stuff, that's on your clock. So it's like just factor that in too, you know? So it's like there's elements that are kind of partially out of your control, so you don't want to take too much time anyways. And I'm sure we'll talk more about chess clocks in the future, but I think they've just been a massive boon for the game.
They have been for our play group, especially. The amount of games we've been able to play based on using them
since local stuff been adopting them.
Exponentially gone up.
Oh, it's like doubled, right? And that's when you start playing on them and you realize that. We've been playing on for a long time now, but it's like, you're like, oh my gosh, I got more games in, I got more activations in my characters. That's why I'm here. I'm here to have fun and do more stuff in the game. I'm not here to like mastermind the perfect like triple chess move. That's when it like opens up for you. The matrix opens up and you're like, oh, these are great tool. And there's just a tool to keep things.
Look, organized. All I know is when I started going to local nights, I was lucky to get a full game in. Now I get 3.
Yeah. Game changer, right?
It's huge.
So that's the goal, right? Where it's like, I only play every 2 weeks, like really. And, it's been less than that in the past. And so it's like, yeah, I've got some goals for this year, as you know, Chris, and as listeners know, and I want to get 3 games in. If I'm learning a new team, like I said, if my first time playing in humans, I really want to get those 3 games in, right? I really want to see what they're like, right? So tournaments like this, where I have a clock like this, perfect opportunity to do that. Like I said, a competitive format to try something new, learn something, push yourself, and also fill those holes in your armor, like I said. Like,
absolutely, dude.
I'm going to play in humans this year to learn them. They're never going to be a staple team for me. That would be my prediction now, because they're not the part of Marvel I gravitate towards to thematically and fun wise, but I will know how they play and I get better as a player for that. So it's very fun. And we're going to do more of these in the future. This one was like, hopefully next one, like we're going to have some new lists and we're going to like talk about more stuff, you know?
I think my Guardians time is about over, unfortunately. Okay. So I will be moving on. Not sure to exactly what. Check out After Dark.
But I think Psylocke might be in whatever list it is.
Yeah, I mean,
just trying.
Likely, I will do a tournament with X-Force and then reevaluate how that tournament felt, how those games felt. See if I feel confident enough in piloting them in more competitive arenas. Not sure that I will, given their state. But we'll see. You never know.
I'm just going to keep going down my list of bad guys, learning, you
love
know,
it.
Got to get that Krakoa mags on the table at some point that I have. You know,
the white I'm suit. So terrified of playing your Magneto Brotherhood. I'm not good into Magneto anyway.
Oh, okay.
He's just a character I've always had trouble with beating. So gotcha. playing Magneto, a player I have a lot of trouble beating, on a character I have trouble beating, and I'm sure you'll take Senators
for that Mystique flex. It's just too fun too. Like Senators become one of my favorite objectives because it is that like pure objective keep away style.
I just need to play a ton of games on Senators till they make sense, and that's what I'll do.
And I'm excited about Magneto. He might not be next on the line, but he's obviously on the line somewhere. And I'm super excited about him because he is one of those villains in Marvel that I actually think is justified.
He's not a villain.
Yeah, exactly. Like
he's a guy that's done some bad things, but he's not a villain.
For a good cause and his, you know, in his mind.
In his
mind. Yeah, of course. As in like creating the world.
But I mean, MODOK's not a villain by that standard either.
Well,
I know. I'm picking some nits here.
Yeah, that's some nits, because the social rights and freedom of all mutants to be treated the same autonomy as humans
is a little different from AIM getting power. A guy designed only for killing. Yeah, I guess. I know you're right, but I'm saying he thinks he's doing right, because a world ruled by MODOK in MODOK's mind is a perfect world.
Sure, but that's not what Magneto is. Magneto doesn't want to rule the world.
I'm definitely stretching this argument, yes.
Magneto is, you know, Scott Summers is one degree off from Magneto.
Magneto's a better leader and a better human than Scott Summers. Screw Scott Summers.
Hot takes. Here it is. Sorry, Scary Scott fans.
I've never liked him. It's no surprise.
Neither one of us do, and we've made that clear on the podcast, but I have said many times, I've said it many times recently, even with some patrons who I know love Scott, so shout out to you guys. Scott is one of the most crucial pieces in the entire X-Men storyline. Without him, it would fall apart.
Absolutely. He's actually wonderful. He's a wonderful storytelling device.
Yeah.
He's a very complex character.
Just does not gel with you and I's personality.
No, I just in universe disagree with his thought process. I'm more with Logan's thought process, and that's why I say that. I actually love Cyclops in X-Men comics. I just disagree with him. He's an excellent character, and I wouldn't have it any other way. So please understand when I say things like screw Cyclops, it's because I'm in the world when I say things like that. You know what I mean?
This is probably an unfair comparison, but I've heard you say the same thing, like screw Palpatine. And it's like, obviously Palpatine, like he is like this incredibly written character that makes all Star Wars go.
There's no
Star Wars
9 movies without him. Right. But I definitely understand that from a storytelling perspective, from a creative perspective, from a movie making television perspectives, all of it. But come on, man. If you're not having fun disliking the bad guy, then what are you doing?
Good stuff. Very good stuff. Also, Scott's cool. Like, his superpowers are actually really cool.
Yes.
The whole Summers
mythos is interesting. And I mean, I love Havoc, so I'm a weirdo.
There you go. that is a weird.
I'm the weird one here, guys. It's okay.
Bedrock of the X-Men and mutant storyline, of course, is the Summers mythos, without a doubt. So, well, we hope you guys have enjoyed this tournament episode. Chris, I think we got to go to our outro.
Furious Finest is supported by our wonderful patrons. You can become a Furious Finest patron by going to patreon.com/Furious Finest.
Find us online. Find us on Twitter at Furious Finest Cast and everywhere else. Instagram, Facebook, and Twitch at Furious Finest. Email us at FuriousFinest@gmail.com with any inquiries, ideas, or collaborations, and leave us reviews on your podcast platform of choice. It really helps. You guys are slowly creeping that number up. We notice you.
It means
a lot. We will always shout it out because you guys are doing it. Thank you so much.
Thanks to Approaching Nirvana for the show's music. Like Jesse said, keep the momentum going. Rate, review, subscribe. Force your friends to listen while they're asleep. Steal your parents' phones.
Subscribe your parents to MCP content. That's great. Yeah.
Please
lift
do.
Lift the community up as a whole. Yeah.
Force them to listen, as a matter of fact. We're going to get your mom playing MCP. It's going to be great.
Awesome. Good stuff. Well, of course, you can find Chris and I online. You can find me, Jesse, on Twitter, Instagram, Longshanks, all those places, at Jesse Aiken. JSSE and EAKIN. Chris, where can everyone find you?
You can follow me on Twitter at Chris Bruffett, BRUFFETT. I do not know if I've tweeted in the last week. I do not remember.
Continue this X-Men Magneto versus Scott Summers leadership discussion going there or something.
Oh, leadership discussions? That's a different discussion because Scott's is like... No.
Leadership styles, not
MCP. I was going to say, Scott's leadership in MCP is the absolute worst in the game, so.
It might be.
It's a bummer.
Definitely one of the most fun.
Oh, you can do some funky, weird stuff, for sure.
Yeah, Gambit's best team until AIM MODOK's out.
Oh, but can't wait for that, God.
Very cool, fun episode. We'll return to this very soon. We hope you guys enjoyed and got some insight out of this and just some fun, you know? Episodes like this also live to serve as not only a resource like our normal show, but also a fun thing for you to listen to while you're walking the dog or mowing the lawn or riding the train. Shout out to Mario. And
that's what it is,
you know? This is just, sometimes we keep it lighter and... it's less like hard facts, and this is more like our perceptions of the day, what we learned, what we maybe can improve on, and we will return to this very soon. But until next time, thanks for listening, true believers.
Excelsior.
The world has gotten even stranger than you already know. this point, I doubt anything would surprise me.
10 bucks says you're wrong.